Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we take up the second category of spiritual gifts dealt with by Peter in 1 Peter 4:11. You may recall that Peter mentions two categories of spiritual gifts: speaking gifts on the one hand and serving gifts or ministering gifts on the other. The speaking gifts we dealt with on the broadcast yesterday and the day before, and I have just a couple more things that I'd like to say before we lay that one completely aside. But then we will take up the second category, which is ministering gifts. And I think the majority of God's people think that their spiritual giftedness lies more in the category of serving than it does of speaking. Now, I've had some things to say about that, and I'll go back to that in a moment, but it is wonderful to realize that when we speak God's Word faithfully, that is, faithfully communicate the meaning of God's Word to others, that God is speaking through us. God speaks through people. God speaks through men. And not only as He did through Moses and David and Jeremiah and Daniel and the other prophets, but He speaks through men today when they faithfully communicate the meaning of God's Word. And that's a wonderful encouragement, and that's also a sobering responsibility. So let's take that up a little further on this Wednesday, May 7. And please don't forget, we depend upon radio listeners to help financially support this ministry. The text is 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Obviously, Peter isn't giving a lot of details here, but he says an awful lot in a few words. Now, in regard to speaking, on the one hand, there are special speaking gifts, such as teaching, exhortation, evangelism. Those are special spiritual gifts that God gives to some people and not to all. And yet, as I tried to show you on the broadcast yesterday, all of God's children have both an ability and a responsibility to speak the Word of God to others, because all speaking is not public speaking. When we're talking about teaching and exhortation and evangelism, we're thinking primarily in terms of public ministry, the speaking gifts that are given to preachers, to evangelists, to pastors. But as I tried to show you, there are other areas where speaking is done by all the people of God. When we witness, when we counsel informally, when we encourage, when we privately exhort and admonish, when we speak to others the truth of God in our home and on our job and with our friends, as well as at church with our Christian brothers and sisters in our times of informal fellowship, that in all of these occasions we can and should be speaking the truth of God. And this text applies. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That is to say, let him be sure that what he's speaking is the truth as God has given it to us in His Word. Now, here's a corollary idea that grows out of this. I think this makes it very clear that it is not necessary to quote the Word of God in order to speak the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying we should not quote the Word of God, though I think there are times maybe when it's not wise to do so. But quoting God's Word can be a very powerful thing. I notice in the pulpit that sometimes when I quote from memory certain passages of Scripture, there is a fresh hush, a fresh soberness that comes across the congregation, hearing the very words of God quoted has a powerful impact, more powerful than my own words in many cases. And yet, having said that, I can also report that many times when I have expounded a truth from God's Word using my own words, explaining it, applying it, driving it home in my words, my vocabulary, I'm simply taking apart and explaining the meaning of a portion of God's Word, that sometimes that will have a similar effect. If the truth is, if it's germane, if it's needed, if it's convicting, if it will be sobering, it will often also bring a great hush across the congregation. Sometimes people are just almost stunned by the force of God's Word explained. Not necessarily God's Word quoted. In fact, sometimes quoting the passage that I will then expound doesn't have that effect upon them. But when I take it apart and explain it carefully and apply it thoroughly to their lives in a way that makes it clear what God is requiring of them now, in their homes and jobs and schools and community, sometimes there is a hushed and even stunned silence at the power of the truth of God that is driven home to their souls. Now, I observe that from the pulpit, but I'm confident that that same effect is possible in private conversation. I've seen it also sometimes just in talking to people about the Word of God. Sometimes just the most amazing response. Sometimes the most vehement rejection as people realize what God's truth requires of them and they're not willing to consider it. No, I will not do that. And sometimes their vehement rejection we take personally. I must have said something wrong. I must have offended them. Well, yes, you probably did, but it, in many cases, is nothing more or less than communicating the meaning of God's Word that has offended them, because it is God speaking. And since they're not willing to hear what God has to say on that subject, they've already rejected God's truth on that subject, then they respond against you. You're the messenger. But you say, all I did was give them my advice based upon my understanding of God's Word. Why did they respond so strongly? Because it is God speaking through men. And if they're not willing to receive it, then they're going to react against you as the messenger. Now, one other application to this, before we move on to serving gifts, is just a piece of personal advice by way of observation that I think is a proper application from all of this. And that is my advice as to how you communicate the truth of God, say, in the public forum to unbelievers, writing letters to the editor and that sort of thing. When you do that, is it advisable that you quote Scripture, that you take a text of Scripture and expound it like you would in church? Well, I would think that in most cases, probably not. Well, you want to get the Word of God across? Yes, you do. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when you communicate the meaning of God's truth in common, ordinary human language and in your own vocabulary, it carries the same impact and sometimes does so more effectively than if you actually quote Scripture, particularly to people to whom the quoting of Scripture is not a welcome thing, but is something which they will automatically reject. So you can many times give them the truth that comes from Scripture and give it accurately, and it will have a powerful impact before they even realize where it came from. In fact, in some cases, they may never realize exactly where that came from, that that actually was from the Bible, but it came to them in your own words, and so they didn't recognize it as from the Bible, but they do feel the strength of it, the truthfulness of it, the power of it, even if they're not willing to receive it. I think that is true on many occasions. And one reason I think so, and again, I'm offering this more as an opinion than a thus saith the Lord, but one reason I think so is when I study how some of the Bible preachers spoke in public forums when they were talking to people who had no Bible background, such as the Apostle Paul speaking on Mars Hill, speaking in Athens, at the Areopagus, in Acts chapter 17. If you study that message, you realize that Paul packed an awful lot of Bible truth into that message, but he didn't quote any Scripture. In fact, his quotations in that address, we may call it that instead of a sermon, since he wasn't expounding a text of Scripture, the only quotations that you find in that address were the quotations of pagan writers. Now that would just seem wrong to some of God's people. No, you shouldn't quote pagan writers. Well, even unbelievers speak the truth of God sometimes. Sometimes they have the ability to do that. They have the common grace to do that. Everything that an unbeliever says is not automatically wrong. Sometimes he gets it right. And Paul wisely selected some statements from their own poets that communicated Bible truth. And that's what he quoted. And other than that, he just told them the truth of God without quoting Scripture. But oh, what truth he communicated about the creating power of God and the judging power of God, the accountability that every man has before God and how God judges sin. Read that sermon. He communicates truth powerfully, but not by either quoting or expounding any particular text of Scripture. And yet he gets the truth communicated very effectively. And I think that's a pattern, an illustration, an example. Maybe not the only way to do it, but I would take it that that's probably a wise way to do it. I think the Apostle Paul was a wise man. And I think he was guided by the Spirit of God. And I observe that that's the way he did it. And in looking at my text in Peter, I believe that when you speak the truth of God, you're speaking the very oracles of God. We'll return tomorrow and we'll take it up further. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.